I am honoured and humbled to have been chosen by the Conservative Party to become its leader.
Amazon, let's face it, they are now the world's most valuable retailer.
This is the second year, like I said, Amazon is holding a Prime Day.
Brexit means Brexit, and we're going to make a success of it.
Can Amazon avoid some of the snafus it had last year on the site?
Together, we will build a better Britain.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning and welcome to the program. It is 5:09 and today is July 12th, 2016. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. A hot, humid day in Chicago. The numbers are just melting off of the screen this morning. Humid morning as we get going. We have lots to talk about today. STEM education, science, technology, education, math. We're also going to be talking about your online privacy, internet security, and we'll throw in a little bit of this and a little bit of that as well. We'll also check in with Orion Samuelson about the commodities markets, how they fared yesterday. But first, your overnight intel from the WGN Market Desk. As you heard from Vic there, the numbers this morning, generally positive. Dow futures up about 76 points. The NASDAQ and S&P futures higher as well. Overseas, most of the world markets generally higher today. The DAX in Germany up almost 1.5%, and the FTSE up almost 2%. The London markets generally flat this morning. In Asia, the Nikkei up almost 3%, 2.5%. As it closed there at about 16.095, up about 386 points. Here in the United States, some news to tell you about, some big news involving the S&P 500 yesterday, a record high as upbeat economic data and low bond yields funneled investors into U.S. stocks. The S&P broke a record, closing at a new high yesterday. Upbeat data from Friday's jobs report. The low bond yields also played into that. Investors generally seem to be happy with the S&P these days. The S&P's Aaron Gibbs this morning on what may be fueling some of what's behind the markets, especially the S&P 500.
U.S. economy is looking better than the rest of the world, and we're just seeing more fund flows come into the stock market.
Today, we'll be watching the markets. So we have some economic reports out today and tomorrow, so things could change in a heartbeat as we move forward. Also today, big news involving Boeing. The Boeing CEO yesterday out front saying their company, his company, is actually losing business because of the U.S. block, Congress blocking, trying to block attempts by the company, Chicago-based company, to sell jetliners to Iran. Now that we've signed a nuclear deal with Iran and there generally is better relations with the company, Boeing announced earlier this year a deal worth $18 billion to sell 80 planes to Iran. But Illinois Congressman Peter Roskam is leading the charge on Capitol Hill that would block Boeing from doing so. He says Boeing, in his words, actually these are his words, they would be complicit in terrorism if the company Boeing sold to Iran. Iran would use those airliners for terrorism. No company, he says, American, French, Canadian, Brazilian, or otherwise, should make itself complicit in terrorism. This is how the CEO of Boeing, Dennis Muilenburg, reacted to that yesterday.
Things like the Ex-Im Bank reauthorization, the fact that it was last year supported and approved by supermajorities in both the Senate and the House, yet a year later, we're still waiting for a full board quorum so that the bank can fully function. And when you look around a show like this, it's clearly a globally competitive environment. So things like Ex-Im Bank that really help us compete on a global stage, that needs to be reauthorized with a full quorum for the.
That's the CEO of Boeing, Dennis Muilenburg, who says that he supports whatever Congress wants to do, but says it's not fair and that Boeing should be held to the same standard as other companies. It's science, technology, education, and math. And we thought about this yesterday. I did, at least, as we were preparing today's program. MIT has released a new robot that actually helps nurses in the delivery room deliver your baby. Would you like a robot helping deliver your baby? It is the advancements in robotics are amazing these days. Things seem to be speeding forward at light speed. And so today we thought we'd spend a little bit of time here in the opening bell talking about STEM-based education. And we're happy to welcome in Justine Yentis, Community Engagement Manager for ComEd. And good morning, Justine. How are you? Thanks for being with us.
Hi. I'm good, and I work for ComEd, but I'm also Exelon, our parent company. So both. I'm delighted to be here.
Exelon is the parent company of ComEd. You're absolutely right. We are, people still say Commonwealth Edison, but you're officially ComEd now, right?
We are. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. It's still funny that I run into people who say Jules and Commonwealth Edison. It's kind of hard a habit to break. But let's talk about STEM education. Your company, you are out in front trying to get kids interested in this. Tell us what you're doing.
We are. We've got all kinds of things, and we're working along the whole spectrum. So actually, in this past year, we started working with students sort of 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade to try to get them more excited about science and technology and math. But specifically, we're now working with Von Steuben Metro Science High School up on the north side and Illinois Tech and the city. We've put together a partnership that's called Opt for STEM. And I love the name. It was actually named by a group of students at Von Steuben, and they've helped us with the marketing as well as the curriculum, trying to think about how to get students really experimenting and so excited about these fields. You know, as a company, we need those experts working for us. And we know that the world is really in desperate need for people in those fields. And so this has been a way to start with some groups of students to sort of move them along and get them thinking about science, going on to, you know, higher ed in science, and then hopefully being employed in various careers.
We'll get into some of the nitty-gritty on this when we come back after traffic here. We're having our morning business conversation today with Justine Yentis of Commonwealth Edison, Exelon Corporation, the parent company of ComEd. STEM education is our conversation topic this morning, and we'll talk more about it coming up.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Across the board gains for investors on Monday, the Dow Jones gained 80 points to close at 18,227, a new high for the year. The S&P reached a new top, ending at 2137. The NASDAQ briefly crossed 5,000 during the day, but eventually faded and finished up nearly 32 points. Starbucks has announced workplace changes, giving store employees and managers a 5% raise. Those with at least 2 years of service also will be eligible for double the amount of stock in the company. After defying industry trends, Apple is feeling the slowdown in global purchases of laptop and desktop computers. New estimates suggest Apple saw a decline of 4 to 8% in Mac computer shipments during the second quarter, even as some bigger rivals managed to find growth in the PC business. And the House has passed an aviation bill aimed at boosting airport security, reducing screening lines, and refunding fees to passengers whose luggage is lost. Final action is required by Friday when the FAA's current operating authority expires. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
520, welcome back to the program. Mentioned at the start of the program, robots could eventually help play integral roles in the maternity ward. MIT's Computer Science and Artificial Intelligence Laboratory has developed a new robot.
What is a good decision?
I recommend placing a new patient in triage bed
number 5. What is the bad
decision would be to place a scheduled cesarean.
That's the robot talking to a nurse in the maternity ward, basically helping schedule things and talk about patient work, patient conditions. I don't think these robots are actually going to actually deliver babies, but you never know. And so that sort of segues into our discussion today about science, technology, education, and math. And we're on with Exelon's Justine Yentis this morning from ComEd. They've partnered with Von Steuben High School here in Chicago to get kids interested in STEM education. And Justine, I'm curious, are the kids, when they are enrolling in this, are they excited? Do you have to tell them what STEM is, or do they know?
Oh, they know. You know, they're familiar with it. I will say that a lot of the students that we have, we just launched this Energy Academy. It's a two-week program, and yesterday was the first day. And the students signed up for it for the summer. You know, and what I was interested in is some of them are sort of deep into STEM, right? They are really excited about all of the science that they've been taking or the math, et cetera. Some of them are just dipping their feet in. They're really just starting. Maybe to your point, they've just heard about some of these things with robotics and what the possibilities are, or they're really good online gamers or whatever. They want to learn more, you know, and so we have a group of 20 students, 10 boys, 10 girls, And it's a real variety in terms of what their experience is and the knowledge level that they have coming in. But the program is designed that for all of them, they can really get busy experimenting and, you know, developing theories and hypotheses and then playing them out and seeing what they think of all this.
It's okay to call those of us who are excited in this nerds or geeks. We don't care.
Yeah, it's pretty trendy now.
It is, as a matter of fact, because I remember when I was in high school, it wasn't, but it is now. I'm curious. I mean, obviously, Exelon has a stake in this, as you mentioned, going in, because these are going to be the jobs of the future. What is the core of this program, and what, after the end of it, will the students come away with?
Well, in this particular, the summer program, the Energy Academy, you can tell by its name, they're going to learn about all the different kinds of energy. And then they're also going to learn about our energy business. And so in addition to doing workshops and experiments that they're doing down at the Idea Shop at Illinois Tech, you know, we'll have them out doing, practicing emergency simulations at our Exelon Byron nuclear plant. In that simulator where we train our own employees, they'll have a chance to sort of develop different scenarios and think about what happens at a nuclear plant. They're going out to Rockford, where ComEd trains the linemen who work on our overhead lines and deliver electricity. They're going to talk sort of career paths with a whole variety of Exelon employees. They're going to build energy-efficient homes with Habitat for Humanity here in Chicago down in the West Pullman neighborhood. So by the time they're done, they'll not only have a really great sense of all the different, you know, forms of energy and how they get created and delivered, but also different paths that they might want to pursue. So more academics that they might want to get into, but also eventually where they could be in terms of jobs if they wanted to work for a company like ours or something similar.
The future of energy is, I would say, very much up in the air. I don't know if you agree with that, but is it possible that one of these students could develop the next type of energy that will keep our planet clean and powered through the next couple of centuries?
Sure, I suppose that they could. You know, they're going to sort of get the grounding right now in what's out there, but it'd be super exciting if they saw new opportunities or took something that exists in a slightly different way.
This is an education, obviously, that is a lot of school systems are doing this, but without your support, without Exelon support, probably would not happen in Chicago. Hopefully somebody else would step up. But this is something, a unique situation that they probably wouldn't get anywhere else. I wonder if you could talk about the value of that and how it prepares them for the next step of their education.
Well, as I say, I think it gives them, we're working with a group out of Washington, D.C. called the National Energy Education Development Project. That's kind of a big, long name. It's called NEED. And they're coming up with the curriculum for programs like this. But we're also working with them for middle school students to do a similar kind of curriculum. And, you know, this is so that schools that want to train their own teachers to become, you know, better teachers of these subjects can dig into this curriculum as well. But mostly it's based on the students really getting their hands dirty, as it were. So the students really getting a chance to experiment. I think what we found at every stage for students, you know, as young as sort of 4 and 5 years old and all the way up through college students, the key for them to be excited about these subjects is to be doing it, to be testing their own ideas and to be working kind of with mentors to do so. I do want to mention that one of my favorite parts about the Energy Academy program this summer is that one of the lead teachers, Von Steuben, he's just perfect. You know, he's actually a Von alum who went to Illinois Tech, and now he's gone back to Von and he's teaching. And I just saw him in action yesterday, and with the students, he's so much fun, Manny Aldana, you know, and he's perfect. And it just helps them to see, okay, I do this, and then I could do this, and then this is the possibility. And I think for students, you know, being able to see that stream that they're going to travel down is so important.
We on this program have mentioned quite often that there are too few women involved in the boardrooms and also in science. Is the encouragement there? Do you see a lot of girls joining this as well? And are they excited? Are you specifically recruiting girls?
We didn't specifically recruit them, but through the programs all through the year at Von Steuben, we've seen great representation from girls. And specifically this summer in the Energy Academy, it's an even split, 10 boys, 10 girls. And watching them yesterday, I saw zero difference. You know, I mean, it was a super diverse crowd in that room, and everybody just jumped right in. I mean, that was actually my biggest takeaway, was that they did a project called Get the Oil Out. to sort of be their icebreaker. And the students experimented to see whether it's easier to bring up liquid with a long tube or a short one. So they taped together 10 straws end to end and then tried drinking root beer up through the straw. And, you know, some of them had to climb on tables to be sort of tall enough to do it. And then if they found that 10 straws was too long to succeed, they'd cut it down to 9 or 8 or whatever. And once they got to be easy with that, they'd add in some Hershey's chocolate syrup. And I loved watching them kind of turn really red in the face, trying to suck up that more dense liquid. But everybody was involved. You know, people were taping. People were sort of yelling, I think this is going to work, or climb up higher, or whatever it is. So everyone just really jumped into it and had a lot of fun.
It's always exciting to do science. It is called the Opt for STEM Initiative. And we've been talking with Justine Gentis, Exelon's Community Engagement Manager, Exelon, the parent company of ComEd. Justine, thanks for being with us on the opening bell. And I guess if the power goes out or we hear something explode from that area of the city, we know they probably did the wrong thing, but hopefully not.
And we'll come fix it.
Thank you. We'll keep you. Hopefully you'll keep us posted, and we'll look for the success of all of these students. Again, it's the Opt for STEM initiative. By the way, it is important to note that this is building on the city of Chicago's five early college STEM schools, which are called ECSS. The city partnership with a lot of businesses, including Exelon and ComEd, is to provide at least 300 students over 5 years with the opportunity to take classes at IIT.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:39. Welcome back to the program. In tech trends, just before the news, you heard our Ryan Burrow talking about the new Pokemon game and people playing that like crazy. Well, there's actually a security flaw that's been found by the security experts. Nintendo's new game has been it's almost ready to overtake Twitter in terms of popularity and users. But yesterday, Proofpoint researchers, the security firm Proofpoint, found a version of Pokemon Go that included a remote access tool, or RAT, RAT, called Droid Jack, which they say can give an attacker full control over a victim's phone. The malicious version of the game was uploaded to a file sharing service back on July 7th, just a few days after the game's official release. But it highlights just how vulnerable we all are with our devices and computers and other things. And we thought that would be a good segue into our next conversation with Rob Silvers, who is the Assistant Secretary for Cyber Policy at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Good morning, Secretary Silvers. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning, Steve. Nice to be here.
We're talking about the, I have no idea what a RAT is, RAT. I'm guessing you do. This is another example of hackers just trying to get in wherever they can, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. It appears that way, Steve. You know, with any apps, users need to be very careful if they're downloading them outside of a standard app store like the Android App Store or the Apple App Store. If they are going to go down that path, they need to check the settings of the app in their settings listing on their phone. And if they see suspicious settings enabled, like allowing editing of text messages or allowing the app to retrieve data from other apps, that's a big red flag.
This is obviously, this is affecting only Androids as far as we know now. And it's, as you just mentioned, people who've downloaded this outside of the Google Play Store. Talk to us a little bit about the threat. I'm sure that, well, I shouldn't put words into your mouth, but do you have sleepless nights over all of this? Are we just constantly being attacked, we, the United States, and our infrastructure and technology by hackers?
In a sense, we are. Cyber threats today are widespread, Steve, but there are steps that companies as well as ordinary people can take to protect themselves. And I'm in Chicago today speaking with businesses about how they can best confront the cybersecurity challenge. Small business owners in particular sometimes think that they can't be a target, that no one's going to go after them. But in fact, 60% of cyber attacks are directed at small businesses. So we're all fair game and we all need to be careful.
So what is the thing, the top thing that you're going to tell people today about keeping things secure?
Whether for companies or for individuals, you should check out dhs.gov/cyber. And there are a number of common sense steps that companies and people can take to protect themselves. One is don't click on suspicious links in emails, which can cause you to download harmful software. Another is use strong passwords. If your password is password 123, or if your password to your bank is bank, it's time to change your password. And there are other very common sense steps that can be taken that can go a long way to protecting you. And it's really akin to locking your front door and closing your windows at home before you go to bed at night. It makes your house a less attractive target to someone who's just looking for an easy break-in. You should be taking the same approach with your computers, your phones, your tablets, and your broader IT networks if you're a business.
On the same token, though, it is becoming harder and harder, it seems, to do that. Some of these hackers are becoming very, very sophisticated. Doing things like, you know, phishing and sending emails that look real, about giving your passwords. I mean, they're really getting sophisticated, aren't they?
They are. And if they really want to get you, they're finding out people that you would ordinarily email with, and then they're manufacturing emails to look like the real sender to dupe you into clicking on a link. That's why before you click on a link in an email, you really need to study the email hard to look for irregularities. Check out the actual email address that it's from. Look at the small script at the bottom of the email. If it looks funny to you, think twice before connecting.
It is almost like a lockdown situation at many companies, including here at the Tribune Company. Every computer seems to be locked down to the point where you can't access this or that. Are we getting to the point, though, where our technology, where we're being held hostage, where we can't fully utilize our technology because of this fear?
I don't think so. Cybersecurity risk is real, but it's just like a lot of the other risks that we face in the world. You can't do everything that you might want to do on a whim. You have to move forward in a cautious way about things, but you can still enjoy all the benefits of the technology that's available to us. And companies and businesses still are, but you may have to take a few steps or slow down a little bit before engaging in certain kinds of transactions. And that just might be the price we pay for enjoying all the benefits of the IT revolution over the last several decades.
It's interesting that you're talking to businesses, because our Attorney General here in Illinois, Lisa Madigan, has been very active in this area, because she says that companies are not playing good offense when it comes to this problem, that they're playing a weak defense. They don't have systems in place to deal with our privacy, to keep our privacy secure, our being customer privacy. Are you going to be telling businesses they need to step up their game?
I am. At DHS, Department of Homeland Security, we provide best practices for keeping networks safe, and we provide those for free to businesses. We also provide information sharing with the private sector about the latest threat streams and vulnerabilities so that businesses can know what action they should take to protect themselves and their customer data on their own networks. I think we all have to step up our game. Government, businesses, individuals, everyone's got a lot of room to improve, and that's what I'm here in Chicago talking about.
And aside from the customer standpoint, this could possibly be something that would bring a company to its knees and maybe even ruin a company. I know we've been hearing a lot about ransomware that's in the news lately, but this could really bankrupt a company. The hackers could get in and steal everything, couldn't they?
Absolutely. And we've seen over the past several years attacks that have brought companies to their knees. It's of grave concern. And if you're a CEO, you want to have not only a preventative plan before something happens, but you want to have a reaction plan ready to go before the event actually hits. You do not want to be trying to figure this all out for the first time after you've already discovered the attack. And that's why it's important to work with DHS or other cybersecurity companies to get a plan in place. You need to be ready.
And for consumers, again, dealing with these businesses, what would be a warning sign if I walked into a business and I saw something? Is there some kind of red flag that would say, you know, I may not want to do business with this company because they don't look secure?
You know, I don't know if there's a particular red flag, though I think educated consumers should feel free to ask their customer service representatives or the salespeople with whom they're dealing about a firm's cybersecurity posture. And if the representative can't adequately answer the questions, that's a red flag right there. It means that it's not part of the culture.
Well, good luck with your discussion today. Robert Silvers, the Assistant Secretary for Cyber Policy at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security in Chicago today. Thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell. Best of luck to you.
Thank you for having me.
It is 5:48. This is the Opening Bell. By the way, you can find more again at dhs.gov/cyber. All kinds of tips and pointers, and we'll link that out to from our page as well. Cybersecurity, keeping you safe both from a business and consumer standpoint.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. Dow futures higher this morning, pointing toward a higher open on Wall Street as we move forward. And before we check with Orion here, breaking news just into the WGN newsroom. There has apparently been a train crash in southern Italy. According to the Associated Press, two trains have collided head-on in the southern region of Puglia, I believe is how you pronounce it. The trains have collided in the town of Andria. There are fatalities and many, many people injured. Again, this is happening just south of Milan. Two commuter trains have collided head-on. We'll continue to follow this as we move through the morning. Right now, Orion and commodities. Good morning, Orion.
Good morning, Steve. Another tough day for cattle producers at the Merck yesterday. Live cattle futures down more than 2%. Several of the contracts posted limit down moves late in the session because of weak cash markets. And then technical selling added pressure as well, with the August through December contracts down the $3 daily limit, all posting contract lows. So that means daily limits in live cattle today will be expanded to $4.50 a hundredweight. And cattle cash didn't do that well last week, $119 to $120 per hundredweight. Hogs also continued the slide, and the most actively traded August contract finished down 47 cents at $78.35. In the grain market yesterday, corn futures fell as investors braced themselves ahead of today's USDA July report. Wheat and soybeans followed corn lower. The most active December corn contract ended the day down 7 cents a bushel, September wheat down 4.5 cents, and November soybeans ended down 2.75 cents. And in the weekly crop report bulletins yesterday, corn and soybeans actually got better. The weekly crop report showing 76% of the corn crop in good to excellent condition, and that's up a percentage point. USDA said 71% of the bean crop is good to excellent. That's also up 1% from a week ago. Wisconsin continues to lead the nation in the highest percentage of good to excellent corn and soybeans. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion, and you have a good day as well.